The most important thing is your life. So we've talked about the necessity of holiness. And we mentioned five reasons holiness is important. Now there are many other reasons, but these are five very important ones. God commands it. It's the only way to heaven. It is a requirement for leadership. It gives you usefulness. And it makes people to be willing to follow you. So this is why your life is the most important thing. Now our second main point. We talked about the necessity of holiness. Why it's important. Now we want to talk about the source of holiness. Where does it come from? What is its foundation? Where does it begin? First, we talked about why it's important. Now we want to talk about where does it come from? This is very basic but very important. True holiness comes from true conversion. True holiness comes from true conversion. One is the root, the other is the fruit. One is the foundation, the other is the house. One is the cause, the other is the result. True holiness comes out of true conversion. So I want to talk now about true conversion. And I want you to examine your own life. Examine your own preaching. And examine your own churches. Because the most important question in the world, what must I do to be saved? And if you cannot answer that question for yourself, and you cannot answer that question for others, and you are unsure about your own salvation, or you are wrong about your own salvation, if you're wrong about your own salvation, you will be wrong about other people. Now you say, well, I already know this. This is too simple. Teach us some high theology. But what is wrong with many preachers? What is wrong with much preaching? What is wrong with some churches? They don't understand this clearly. And they do not preach it clearly. Listen carefully. If this is not clear in your own mind, it will be unclear in your mouth. If it's unclear in your mouth, it will be unclear in their ears. If it's unclear in their ears, they will not understand in their heart. You must understand this clearly. What is true conversion? This is the most important question in all the world. So I ask you this question. Have you been truly converted? And when you preach to others, do they clearly understand what it means to be truly converted? So I want to talk now about true conversion. Why is it important? Because it produces true holiness. I want to talk about this subject in two ways. First, I want to talk about what true conversion is not. What true conversion is not. Then I want to talk about what true conversion is. I traveled to different parts of the world. I talked to many professing Christians. I asked them this question. When did you become a Christian? And many of their answers are unclear. They don't understand what it means to be a true Christian. And if you're a preacher, your responsibility is to clearly preach the truth so people can understand and believe. So first, I want to talk about what true conversion is not. Number one, it is not being born into a Christian family. I talked to many people. I asked him this question. When did you become a Christian? They say, oh, I'm third generation Christian. My grandparents were Christian. My mother and father were Christian. And when I was born, I was born a Christian. Now let me ask you a question. Is anyone born a Christian? When a baby comes out of the womb, if his mother and father are Christians, is that baby born a Christian? Now it's a great blessing to be born into a Christian home. But listen carefully. That doesn't make you a Christian. You remember the Jews in Jesus' time. John chapter 8. What did they say? Abraham is our father. We have never been enslaved to anyone. What were they hoping in? Their background. They were born into the nation of Israel. They were physically connected to Abraham. And they thought they were right with God. Listen carefully. Being born into a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. You say, of course we understand this. But I go all over China. I've been to many places in Nepal. And I ask them this question. When did you become a Christian? And this is what they say. My mother and father are Christians. I was born in a Christian home. They're hoping in their physical background. But what did Jesus say? John chapter 1, verse 13. You must be born again. Not according to blood. Not according to the will of man. Not according to the flesh. But according to the will of God. So we must understand this. True conversion is not being born into a Christian family. Do we all understand that? When a baby is born, he is born with a sinful nature. Outwardly, he may be clean, but inwardly, he has a disease. Babies are not born as Christians, they're born as sinners. And they are infected with sin. Where did they get it? They got it from their parents. Where did they get it? They got it from their parents. And on all the way back. We're all connected to one man. I've said in many places, you've got black hair. I've got white hair. You have brown eyes. I have blue eyes. You speak Nepali. I speak English. But we all have two things together. We all have red blood. And we all have one father. And we all are born with a spiritual disease. Your mother and father cannot save you. Being born into a Christian family does not save you. That's not true conversion. Number two, true conversion is not just intellectual understanding of the facts. It's not enough to know a few Bible verses. I ask some people, are you a Christian? And they say, yes. I ask them, how do you know you're a Christian? And they say, I understand the Bible. Listen carefully. True faith is not just understanding. Many people understand some verses in the Bible. They've been to Sunday school. They can quote John 3:16. They know who Jesus is. They know why Jesus came. They know that Jesus died on the cross. But it's all in their head. But listen carefully. Remember what James said. James chapter 1. You believe God is one? The devil also believes. Listen carefully. When Jesus walked on the earth, when he was casting out the demons, what did they say? We know who you are. You're the Son of God. You came from God. We know who you are. Listen carefully. The devil knows who Jesus is. The demons know why Jesus came. But are they Christians? Of course not. Their understanding is right here. It's not right here. Many people think this. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus. They know why he came to earth. They know a few Bible verses. But that is not true conversion. Understanding the facts is not enough. True conversion is not being born into a Christian home. True conversion is not understanding the facts. Number three, true conversion is not an emotional experience. I go to many places in China. I asked a man one time, when did you become a Christian? He said this, my home was right by the church. And it was Christmas time. And I was in my home. And I heard them singing some Christmas song. La 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 la. And I heard the song. And my heart was moved. And I began to cry. Now I'm a Christian. Listen carefully. An emotional experience is not true conversion. Now, when a man is converted, he may have some emotion. Remember in the book of Acts, Paul is preaching to Felix. And Felix was an ungodly man. Chapter 24. Felix had just stolen another man's wife. He had no self-control. And Paul preached a message to Felix. And he had 3 points. And what did he preach? What did he preach? Righteousness. Self-control. And the judgment to come. He said, Felix, God is righteous. And His law is holy. You have no self-control. You just stole another man's wife. And there's a judgment to come. And when Felix heard these words, what happened? He began to tremble. He had an emotional experience. He was deeply moved. But was he converted? Huh? Did he become a Christian? No. Listen carefully. Matthew chapter 13. The sower goes out to sow the seed. Some falls on the rocky places by the side of the road. Some falls on the shallow soil. Some falls amidst the weeds and the thorns. Some falls on the good ground. What is Jesus talking about? We preach the word. We scatter the seed. And different men respond in a different way. And he said, some received the word with joy. They are happy and they're deeply moved. But they have no root. And they spring up for a little while and then die. Listen carefully. They received the word with joy. They were excited. They had an emotional experience. But listen carefully. True conversion is not just an emotional experience. Number four. True conversion is not physical healing. I ask many people this question. When did you become a Christian? One man told me this. I was in the hospital. I was sick. I had cancer. I was going to die. Some Christians came. They laid their hands on me. I was healed. Now I'm a Christian. Now listen carefully. Physical healing may lead to true conversion, but physical healing is not conversion. Remember in Luke chapter 17, write that down. Jesus is walking down the road. 10 lepers stood at a distance. They said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon us. What did Jesus say? Go show yourself to the priest. They turned to go show themselves to the priest. And what happened? They were healed. One of them. A Samaritan. What did he do? He saw he was healed. He turned back. He went to Jesus. He fell down. What did Jesus say? Were there not 10 that were healed? The other 9, where are they? Is there only one, the Samaritan, to turn back to give glory to God? Listen carefully. What did Jesus say? Go your way, your faith has saved you. How many were healed? 10. How many were saved? Listen carefully. True conversion is not physical healing. Now, physical healing may lead to true conversion. Jesus healed many people that never fully, truly followed him. True conversion is not being born in a Christian family. True conversion is not just intellectual understanding of the facts. True conversion is not just an emotional experience. True conversion is not just a physical healing. Many people come to church. They have an experience. Many people are healed. God touches their body. Many people understand a few Bible verses. But they're not truly converted. Many people have been born into a Christian family. But when they die, they go to hell. Why? These things do not save you. Number five, true conversion is not being baptized and joining the church. I ask many people this question. When did you become a Christian? They say, well, in 1999 I was baptized. 1999 I joined the church. What are they hoping in? They're hoping in their baptism. They're hoping in their church membership. Listen carefully. You can be baptized and not be truly converted. You can join the church and not be truly converted. Those things don't save you. Look in the book of Acts. And chapter 8. Philip is preaching in Samaria. Look at verse 6. And the crowds all together were giving attention to what Philip said. Verse 7. Many people were healed and delivered from the demons. Verse 8. There was much rejoicing in the city. Verse 9. There was a man in the city named Simon. He practiced magic. And they called him, verse 10, the great power of God. Verse 12. They believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. They were baptized, men and women alike. Now notice verse 13. Tells us three things. Number one, Simon believed. Number two, he was baptized. Number three, he joined with Philip and the brethren. Did you hear that? He believed. He was baptized. He joined the Christians. Notice verse 14. The apostles come down from Jerusalem. Verse 15. They prayed for them and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. When Simon saw the Spirit was given through the apostles' hands, he offered them money. He saw the apostles put their hands on him. Spirit of God fell upon them. What did Simon do? Give me this power. I want this power. Notice what Peter says, verse 20. May your silver perish with you. Because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. Verse 21. You have no part or portion in this. Your heart is not right with God. Verse 23. You are in the gall of bitterness and the bondage of iniquity. Verse 24. What did Simon say? Pray to the Lord for me yourself so that nothing of what you've said may come upon me. Now notice verse 22. Peter said, repent and you pray to the Lord yourself. Verse 24. What did Simon say? You pray for me. And if you study church history, what do we learn about Simon the magician? He never repented. He never truly believed. And he began his own cult with false teaching. And he led many people astray. Listen carefully. He believed. He was baptized. And he joined the church. But he was not truly converted. Did you hear that? He believed. He was baptized. And he joined the church. But he wasn't converted. Baptism doesn't save you. The church can't save you. Joining the church is not true conversion. Many people, they think if they're baptized, they're saved. Now, baptism is important. Peter says this. Baptism saves you. But he said, not the removal of the dirt from the flesh. It's not the physical act of baptism that saves you. What does Peter say? From the heart, it's a prayer to God to give you a new conscience. True conversion is not being born into a Christian family. True conversion is not understanding a few facts. True conversion is not just an emotional experience. True conversion is not a physical healing. True conversion is not baptism and joining the church. Number six, true conversion is not according to good works. I ask many people this. Are you going to heaven when you die? They say yes. I say, why do you think you're going to heaven? They say, I'm a good person. I do many good things. I'm not as bad as my neighbor. He lies. I don't lie. He commits adultery. I don't commit adultery. He doesn't go to church. I go to church. He doesn't live a good life. I do good works. Many people are hoping in their own good life. They think their good works will save them. If I do more good works than I do bad works, I will get to heaven. But what does Paul say? Ephesians 2:8 and 9. By grace we are saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not according to works. So no man can boast in himself. Paul faced a big problem in the early church. And what was that problem? Jewish legalism. They believed, you believed in Jesus, but you had to also obey the law to be saved. Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. Unless you are circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. But Paul said this, Galatians chapter 2, a man is not justified by the law, but he's justified through faith. Listen carefully. I trust you all understand this. True conversion is not by doing good works. Number 7. True conversion is not just saying you're a Christian. Look in the book of Matthew. And chapter 7. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father that is in heaven. Now listen carefully. He's not saying that doing the will of God will save you. He's saying if you are saved, you will do the will of God. How do you know a man is a Christian? Not because he goes to church. Not because he goes to church. Not because he says, Lord, Lord. Not because he says with his mouth, I believe in Jesus. How do you know a man is converted? His life is changed. He bears good fruit. He is a new creature. He does the will of God. Listen carefully. Saying you're a Christian is not true conversion. And lastly, number 8. True conversion is not by doing the ministry. Ask many people this question. When did you become a Christian? I'm a preacher. I go all over Nepal. I've been preaching for 30 years. Now listen carefully. Your ministry cannot save you. Serving the Lord does not save you. Preaching the gospel does not save you. Healing the sick does not save you. Casting out the demons does not save you. Look at verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, 3 things. Did we not preach in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform miracles in your name? Who's he talking to? Preachers. Pastors. Bible teachers. What does he say? Verse 23. Some of the most serious words in all of the Bible. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now let me ask you this. What does Jesus say? Well, I knew you once, but now I don't know you. What does he say? I never knew you. I never knew you. Listen carefully. Many preachers will get to the gate of heaven. Knock on the door. Who are you? Lord, I'm a Nepali preacher. I preach the gospel in your name. I travel all over Nepal. I heal the sick. I cast out demons. I went to Bible school. I preached all over Nepal. I have a big church building. I baptized hundreds of people. I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. Lord, I'm a preacher. I preach the gospel. I baptize many people. I started many good things. Depart from me. Listen carefully. Who's he talking to? He's talking to preachers. Your ministry cannot save you. Serving the Lord cannot save you. Preaching the gospel does not save you. Healing the sick does not save you. Casting out the demons does not save you. This is not true conversion. It's not being born in a Christian family. It's not just understanding the facts. It's not an emotional experience. It's not a physical healing. It's not baptism. It's not joining the church. It's not good works. It's not saying you're a Christian. It's not serving the Lord. That is not true conversion. But I talk to many people in different parts of the world. And when I ask them this question, these are the answers they give me. I didn't make up those answers. That's what people have told me. That's what they're hoping in. Do you understand what we're saying? Where does holiness begin? It begins in true conversion. What is true conversion? It is not these things. So after lunch, I want to talk about true conversion. And I want you to examine your own life. I want to examine your own preaching. And I want you to examine your own churches. Because the most important thing in the world, two things. Am I going to heaven? Are the people I preach to going to heaven? Are the people that hear me going to heaven? One day, very soon, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe 10 years, you and I will die. And we will stand at the gate of heaven. Who are you? And if you can't give the right answer, you cannot get in the gate. What are you hoping in? What do you believe in? What is your trust? Why do you know you're going to heaven? It's none of these things. So after lunch, we want to answer this question. What is true conversion? Well, let's pray. I'll have this brother pray for us.